It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
And well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby. We were expected to talk a little Niners and Panthers. We're expected to recap the Giants season as they finish 81-81 for the first time in franchise history. But no. Plans got derailed because at 5:59 p.m., our boy, 95.70 Game Insider Anthony Slater, tweeted out that Warriors Draymond Green potentially facing internal discipline after altercation with Jordan Poole. According to sources, practice had to be halted, according to this report by Anthony Slater, Marcus Thompson, and Sean Sharadia. So we have the man of the hour on. He's one of our favorites on the roast. He is a roaster, a day one, and he's appointment radio, Anthony Slater. Anthony, good morning to you. I text you last night, say, hey, wake up in the morning. I know you're going to have a long night, but we need you on, and we're not talking Dolphins.
Oh, you
we're not
talking.
Him? Oh, yeah. He had to get Slater on. It's our guy. I wanted to talk Cleveland Guardians with him. I wanted to talk Dolphins with him.
Oklahoma State,
undefeated, beating Baylor last week. Right, Slater? Am I right about that?
First of all, this is a great time for all of my sports. Also, 81-81 for the Giants. I didn't know that. Ooh, that has to hurt even more.
Please don't. I don't need that in my life.
We checked out late August, dog. We checked out his football season and basketball season.
Yes, we'll be back in right field next year.
We're not bringing that up. Your report. All right. Let's start here because this is juicy. We had to take the full 25 minutes with you here. All right. What happened? Explain to the masses what happened.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all the details are still, like, trying to be sussed out, and the availabilities that are at least scheduled for today, or at least previously were scheduled for today, should bring some, you know, more detail. But I guess I could look, practice opens yesterday. It's kind of a solemn mood in the gym. You know, Jordan Poole is in the gym. He's on the other side of the hoop by himself, shooting some, you know, doing an individual workout, a couple other guys around the gym. The leaders of, you know, the Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry, you know, I saw Bob Myers over there on the other side of the gym, Steve Kerr. They were kind of like circled a little bit and were more curious about our presence as reporters in general. So I thought that was interesting. And then, you know, obviously word kind of starts to filter out to us really a few hours after practice that like something had gone down. I don't know exactly what precipitated the argument, as we put in the story, like the, you know, Jordan Poole and Draymond Green getting into it is not new. You know, Draymond and a lot of guys getting into it's not new, especially in a practice setting. They were going live yesterday.
So it was 5-on-5?
It was like a controlled 5-on-5. They're actually scheduled for a big scrimmage today, but it was, you know, I don't know the exact setting that this happened. I just know that this happened. And, yeah, they got chest-to-chest during an argument, and Draymond punched Jordan Poole. And, you know, that became the big issue that really the organization still right now is trying to, like, sift through the aftermath of.
So it was a punch.
Look, that's what it's kind of been described to me as. Punch to the face area, you know, swift hit. Yes, to answer your question.
Huh. And were there teammates in between them, or you said they were chest to chest?
They had to separate them.
And practice stopped for how long? How long did you, about 30 minutes, 45? What was that like? And then what happened after practice? I saw Jordan Poole working out afterwards. What was that like? What was the time between where Steve Kerr stopped practice? How long was that?
I don't know exactly. I mean, it seems like that's when practice kind of ended for the day. And like they kind of, you guys have been in that gym where there's kind of the weight room area. It seemed like the action kind of, you know, was pulled over there, and then discussions were taking place. And again, this is something that was, they weren't exactly trying to have, you know, to the outside world. At some point it's going to have to come out, obviously, especially with a disciplinary action likely to come. But it was, like I said, you didn't know what happened, but it was like, this is not, you know, like the music wasn't blaring. There wasn't like the typical vibe in the practice area. And you're like, you know, something seems like it might have happened today.
Okay, so for all the years that you've been covering basketball at the NBA level, which is a long, long time, you are one of the deep-rooted guys when it comes to covering this team and just the NBA in general. How many actual physical altercations have you either heard of or seen at practices?
Oh, a few. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes you hear about them after the season. Like, man, we had a few things this season.
Huh.
I heard one in the aftermath that was like the early Durant years. That's kind of, you know, probably more than we all know across the
league.
But you know, the one thing I will say about this one is it's coming with a level of you know, internal discipline. It sounds like that it can't be hidden. It crossed the line. Is basically what we've been getting messaged out from inside the team. It's like a line was crossed to the point that something needs to happen.
So we have 95.7 The Game insider Anthony Slater on with this Warriors beat writer, best in the business. So what would that discipline look like? Are we talking regular season games, preseason games, fat fine? What do you think that discipline will look like for Draymond Green?
That is still kind of to be determined. It's pretty clear the leadership spent last night, probably spending today kind of sifting through that. You know, what is the proper punishment? What I would say suspension's on the table, but that certainly hasn't been decided. Steve Kerr is supposed to talk post-practice today. That should be an interesting availability. I don't know if Bob Myers is going to talk today or not. I'm trying to remember back to when they suspended him for the Draymond for the Kevin Durant situation in L.A. I believe that was it was a pregame, and I think Bob talked before.
Yeah, pregame he talked. Yeah, he did. Pregame
we
he talked
live
it in.
Yeah, at 95.7 The Game.
He talked
that
pregame, and then I remember Kevin Durant, of course, afterwards walked into the podium, and you know that was very, very interesting as well. So we'll see if Bob talks. Is Draymond going to talk? Or I guess that next pod, we'll just have to wait for that, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of. I mean, it's something I'm obviously curious about. Is just like his messaging, his you know, what is his next availability? You know, and is it in front of the media? Is it, you know, on one of his podcasts? You know, platforms, and is it in accepting, like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that type of vibe, or is it, you know, a little bit defiant in this situation? And that in some ways may define where the season, at least the early portion of the season, is going, just internally, is Draymond's response.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask, you were talking about how things get out. We've seen certain reports, and again, I don't want to rip anyone's credibility. I'm asking you, when you hear that, hey, Jordan Poole's changed, you know, he's different now because this extension is looming, and, you know, he's a different person coming in this year. Have you noticed that?
I mean, Jordan Poole, you guys know Jordan Poole. Like, Jordan Poole came into the building arguing with people.
Right.
Came into the building thinking he was worth $100 million when he was shooting, you know, 20% from three as a rookie. So, I mean, has he grown in confidence? Certainly. Part of that is because he's a fourth-year player that, like, scores 20 a game, like, super efficiently and just won an NBA title. I think what's under the surface of this all, and, you know, we haven't really discussed this yet, and, again, I don't know if this was a, you know, I don't know what was at the heart of the exact argument, but under the surface of what's going on right now is the contract situation. This is what we've been writing, you know, going back to the summer, which is the fact that there's a collision course going on, and there's a front office and ownership that is basically pretty publicly, you know, stated, like, there's a line, a luxury tax line that they can't go over. And then you just do simple math, which, trust me, all these guys' representatives understand the math and understand the Warriors, I guess, ethos that they're not going to go over this tax line, and understand somebody's got to go, essentially, or people got to take less money. Like, everybody's money is colliding with everybody else's money right now.
Right.
That's a good way of putting
and,
it.
Yeah, and the eras are kind of staring each other down in a sense. And, like, you know, they've been able to hold it together well. The Win Now, Develop Now plan that we talked about all last year, like, it worked. They won a title. They still kind of were developing the youth. But money's on the line now. I have no inclination that that's exactly what they were arguing about, but that is certainly sitting under the surface of this preseason. You wondered if it was going to boil over. They have been good with their messaging. I thought Draymond was good on media day, basically saying, look, you know, I don't think I'm going to get anything. Poole kind of shoved it to the side, but then this happens, and you can say that it's been good for a week, but it's only been a week, and then this happens.
Anthony Slater, 95.7 The Game insider here on The Roast. What do you think Steph thinks right now? Like, that's, to me, that's the million-dollar question. It's impossible for you to know. But he's the leader of this team. I know everybody says, you know, Draymond Green's the heart and soul, but Steph is the guy. Steph is the guy that makes this thing go. He's the face of the franchise. I just wonder what how Steph feels about this, seeing a leader in Draymond Green resort to socking Jordan Poole in the face or however, punching him, whatever you want to say. How do you think Steph feels about this, Anthony?
I mean, a level of frustration, I'm sure. You know, just and the fact that, you know, he's kind of got to be the good leader again. I mean, you know, he's look, he was part of whatever you want to call it, the leadership council that I saw, you know, kind of circled in the locker room area when we got into the practice yesterday. I'm pretty sure he was probably making plenty of phone calls last night and figuring it out this morning. I mean, he's the one. Remember when Draymond happened? He had to go to, like, I believe he went to both of their houses.
Yeah, I remember.
He was hurt at the time.
He was hurt.
That's why he missed the Clipper
game. But I remember
he
went to Draymond's house. I don't remember him going to KD's house, but I know you would know more
than
me. You're there.
He was on both sides of that.
Okay.
I know he was on both sides of, like, trying to pull that back together.
Gotcha.
And I know he's going to be on both sides of you know, however a fence needs to be mended here. Whatever, you know, he's trying to help in that aftermath as much as possible. And, you know, he's trying to get ready for a season. He's staring at his team thinking they're probably, what, the favorites? I mean, it was slight favorites, but, like, this has the chance again to be a title team. And he, I'm sure, was not trying to deal with this a week in the camp.
Piggybacking off that Draymond, Kevin Durant situation, clearly when the organization disciplined Draymond, both Kevin Durant, Draymond, and who knows who else felt that the front office, the organization, didn't do right by anyone in that situation. How do they keep that from happening again, or is that just inevitable that Draymond's going to be frustrated no matter what if he gets disciplined?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of what they're figuring out today. These are not simple things. This is why front offices are important. This is why they make a ton of money. They need to, you know, solve these contract situations, but also put out fires that happen within a season. You know, this is also why they are fortunate to have a Steph Curry on the team and Andre Iguodala still in the building to basically serve as intermediaries, figure out what, you know, the locker room believes is appropriate action, what they believe, you know, and also, like, you know, have, I'm sure, you know, Steph and Andre being able to talk to Draymond in a situation like this, but there's probably not an easy answer. But they're going to have to give an answer at some point, and the timeline is sped up because, you know, basically we know something has happened and they're supposed to talk to the media later today, so. And at some point, questions will have to be answered.
You referenced the money colliding, whether it's Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, etc. Where's Wiggins and his impending free agency? How does that factor into all of this delicate balancing that they're doing right now?
I mean, it's within there. I mean, he for the right price, wants an extension also. He's not as, I don't know, I guess as forward of a personality where, you know, I think he's not going to, you know, come out and, I mean, you guys know Andrew Wiggins, but at the same time, like, he wants something to get done, and if it doesn't get done, I think there's a risk of losing him long term. It's just he doesn't feel like he's, like, Draymond is one of the flag bearers of, like, you know, the legend era, essentially, and Jordan Poole is kind of the flag bearer of, like, the, you know, next era, and it, that seems like it's a little bit more of a collision course than Wiggins, who, you know, he's unrestricted, but, you know, he just got here a couple of years ago, and he's, I don't know, Andrew Wiggins has had like two quotes in his life that have been interesting.
But don't you think Wiggins is more important than both, at least for the immediate future, than both Draymond and Jordan Poole?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think I think Wiggins' situation is that they're okay going to unrestricted free agency. You got Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga coming up behind him. He's also just, like, again, if we're talking about trying, I think one of the main things right now is trying to guide this season through smoothly while dealing with the contract situations. And while Wiggins, you know, future contract might be equally important, or, you know, you could argue just because of the position he plays, it's more important. He isn't as, like, you know, you can easily guide this season through with Wiggins in a more unsettled spot than the other two, it seems.
No doubt. Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game insider here on the Morning Roast. You know, we brought up the fact that there's reports out there that Poole has been acting different and, you know, he wants to get paid and he's some sort of egomaniac. Like you said, he's come in from day one arguing, talking trash, but the guy's a worker. And it feels like he does love this culture. Even when the talk about him coming off the bench and starting, whether or not he was unhappy, that was all put aside in the postseason there. I remember Jordan Poole saying after a game, the most important thing I've learned with this organization is winning, winning, and winning. So where do you stand with Jordan Poole when it comes to that? Obviously, he wants to get paid, but this perception of Jordan Poole not being a team guy and not wanting to come off the bench, isn't that a little fluff? Isn't that a little hot, just some smoke created by whoever wants to run with some sort of narrative?
It's I guess the natural way of looking at just like the progression of a player. I've referenced the Poole situation being somewhat similar to the Reggie Jackson situation that I covered in Oklahoma City. That's when he had this great third year playoffs and then came back the fourth year and was like, look, I'm ready to start. He even said in media day, like, you know, Hall of Fame players don't come off the bench, and that's how I view myself. And I'm not like Jordan.
Did Reggie say that?
Had a quote. Yeah. Jordan Poole has never had a quote like that.
Right.
Look, do you think he wants to be a 26-year-old that's a backup guard? He has ambitions in this league, and ambitions that I think have become very reasonable considering what he's become. And, he's handled it well to this point, but he's also – I think these guys see what he's becoming in a good way, but like you saw it, I thought it was interesting in Japan when Clay wins the 3-point contest and they clearly were really excited. Like he went right to Jordan Poole afterwards because Jordan Poole had been talking a little junk beforehand and then even said in the media session, like, man, it was great to humble Jordan Poole. There's a little of that. Now, it's felt very healthy. It's felt like healthy competition, healthy situation where there's so much talent. Like that's typically, it's not a bad thing to just be, pumping out talent. But this happens when you pump out talent. There's increased competition within a team for jobs. I mean, it's a cutthroat world. It really is.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not sitting here saying he's changed behavior or something like that. Jordan Poole's just been Jordan Poole to me the whole time. He's kind of been like this the whole time.
Right.
You referenced the leadership council on the Warriors a couple of times now. Who's a part of that in terms of players or coaches? I don't know, how you break that down. And how does Draymond get checked by someone higher than him or someone that he respects and will at least listen to? Because it feels like at times he's checking everybody and really nobody's checking him.
I mean, he listens to Steph Curry. He listens to Andre Iguodala. He just... Bob Myers has long had a good communicative relationship. This is where Bob Myers is like probably at his best from a GM perspective is like dealing with this type of stuff. So we'll see again. Like I do not know how the conversations went last night or they're going this morning. But typically, look, they've gone through this over the years. This wasn't just one Durant situation. Remember the Steve Kerr situation in Oklahoma City?
Right. Yeah, the locker room at halftime, 2016. The Steph Curry double bang shot. Yeah, I'm not a robot.
Right.
And he went crazy. Lisa Salters, yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of incidents here with Draymond. It's starting to add up.
Yeah, but, again, if it's handled well enough internally where they believe they can move forward and then they're, 7-1 after 8 games, I'm sure they'll all be like, oh, it was great. Great, locker room type. Kept it alive. We deal with that stuff. We'll see. I don't know. I do think today's availabilities matter. I think the early messaging from this is going to matter.
Slater, as we look into the situation, you talk about all the contracts and who's going to get paid, and you have the young guys in Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman. You get Steph Curry, who's 34. What happens with Clay in a couple years? Who knows? Is this the last dance? Is this the last dance? Does it have a last dance feel to this Warriors roster going into the season?
We'll see. I mean, that was always kind of like, as you looked at the contract situations and the tax bill, you kind of wondered that. I wouldn't say that's for sure, but this is, and if it is, this would be like, if they made a documentary, this would be like one of those early camp things. Remember when you were watching The Last Dance and they're talking about like Pippen in camp?
Mm-hmm.
Like this would be... this would be similar probably to the Draymond Durant situation, how that was kind of retold in that final season. But, you know, one thing I have learned is to never say the Warriors dynasty's dead.
Nah, no doubt.
I thought it was dead in 19. So,
What do you think if there is some sort of a punishment or whatever, I don't even know. Like, I'm not even sure what to expect here. Do you think there's a punishment? And if so, what would it look like?
Yeah, again, I'm being discussed internally right now. I mean, certainly, you know, there's fines levied all the time, you know, by teams, you know, at their employees, I guess. I mentioned suspension. I have no, you know, I do not know if that's something that they would put on the table and decide upon, but it's got to be decided quickly. I just know that there has been discussion of some type of, like, something needs to happen for the incident that took place. We'll see what that is. I mean, to me, all I can think of is fine and suspension, because that's just typically,
right,
like, the two avenues of punishment in sports.
Right. And you're not going to suspend him for ring night again.
I want to win back-to-back. Yeah, it's not going
to. So this is probably going to be a thing all season long, Anthony. We're going to look at every interaction between JP and Draymond Green the rest of the season. On the floor, on the bench.
And we'll go backwards.
We'll go backwards. we'll be talking about it. Hopefully it doesn't hijack the season. But, boy, things just got really interesting down in Warriors land.
Can't wait
to hear them. Yeah, go Guardians.
We'll be pulling for you.
Yeah, and go Dolphins until December 4th. Till December 4th. There it is. Hopefully you got some good tickets for that Dolphins game. We'll all meet up and say hi and hang out then.
Teddy Bridgewater.
There it is. Anthony, you're the man. Hey, I know you had a late
stuff,
night,
Anthony.
Man.
And sorry we peppered you.
Yep.
You know, like, you were on trial. I appreciate it. You're the one with the most knowledge, and we respect it. So thank you for coming on, man.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider. We're going to get to the calls on the other side.
Totally,
we got to run.
In.
Your reaction to what Slater had to say. What should be the listeners, roasters, what should be the punishment for Draymond Green? What should be the punishment? What's appropriate for Draymond Green to be? Is it two games? Three games? What's the fine? $50,000, $25,000?
That's a great question.
I wish we had two more hours of the show. Shaska's already 8:25. We got to run in a second. That's what's coming up on a game sponsored by Save Mart and Lucky California.
Well, all right. Yeah.
Now, back to the morning roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Oh, prime time.
Must be the money.
This video was great.
He had the taco meat.
This is a great video.
The leather,
great single.
Jodeci vest.
And he had the curl. He had the S curl with the flat top and the gold.
Jackson State.
Man, they're rolling right now. Did you see T.O. out there at Jackson State?
No.
Terrell Owens was down at Jackson State.
Does he have a year of eligibility?
Dude, he ran routes against that one of their top quarters. And T.O.'s out there. And he didn't really get much separation, but he came down with the catch and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, but his whole career, he didn't get that much separation. He's just an absolute freak. By the way, in about 15 minutes, Dibs has some very strong opinions, and I can't wait for him to get in here, because it's about to be liquid hot magma.
Oh, boy. I'm worried about that.
Changeover.
I'm worried about that. Shout out to YouTube. Shout out to Twitch. The Comcast Business Text Line.
For Dibs.
He's in Brooklyn.
I thought the drama followed him.
He's in Brooklyn, baby. He's in Brooklyn.
Kyrie might punch him in the face.
Well, no. Kyrie said they're going to be best friends this year. So he's got Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. Gosh, I can't wait for Fridell to come back.
Can we make a pact?
What's that?
When Fridell comes out here, when the Nets come out here, we got to go take him to dinner.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
Well, you always do it without me, because you like to hang out with the big stars and leave me out of the equation. You guys have dinner all the time.
I don't agree with that, Nick.
You guys have dinners all the time. No, I don't get those texts. You guys big time me.
New media.
You guys big time me.
Me, Draymond, Fridell.
You guys big time me, man. I heard you guys are eating pizza a couple weeks ago. Man, at least I got Slater, though. That's my guy. Hung out tough in Toronto, man. We had a good time in Toronto 2019 during the finals. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Then we'll get to Grant and Gene. Jonathan, listening on the radio. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm pretty sure you guys are Soprano fans, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what happened, man? JP is kind of like Christopher. He got made. You know, he's filling himself a little bit. And Draymond Green is Paulie Walling. So he's the cruise muscle. He's not going anywhere, guys.
Paulie, but Paulie was...
You guys. He's not going anywhere.
And nobody's saying Draymond Green's going to go anywhere, Jonathan.
Can we agree that Paulie was very, very ill in the head?
Yeah, no doubt.
He was going through my wife's underwear drawer the way he was for Chris's girl, I would have been very disturbed. That might have been the end of Paulie if I was Chris. Yeah. Come on, Joe. You feel me on this.
R.I.P. Tony Sirico. For Paulie. Paulie Walnuts all time.
Also, the whole dynamic with him and his ma, that was strange. It was very
strange.
That's
why The Sopranos is not the top show for me. Because the last three seasons, especially the last two, if we're keeping it a buck, but even the last three.
Yeah, but as you get older, weird. The relationships, I think, hit home more.
It got weird.
I had my uncle try to whack me.
It got darker, that's why. Because that's the life of the mob.
Exactly.
Right. But it is. But when you look at Snowfall... When you look at
Snowfall, The Wire,
when you look at Breaking Bad, they were consistent all throughout.
The Wire season 5.
No, season 2 was great. Mm. Union workers, the ports, you got to be, man, that is a very underrated season. I'll go to my deathbed saying that season 2 of The Wire is underrated.
And we're going
to
get back into Draymond. I still think The Shield deserves recognition amongst your top shows, even though it was cable television.
Right.
Vic Mackey, come on, man.
Right.
Come on, all time.
Snowfall has been...
Incredible.
Incredible.
I'm with you.
Consistent.
Game of Thrones, not consistent at the end.
Yeah. Breaking Bad, consistent.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad's an all-timer.
Yeah.
That may be the top show of all time, Breaking Bad. Tuco was in 2 episodes, and he's legendary.
Yeah.
Blue, yellow, green, I don't care. He's just all about that meth life. Sorry, kids. Sorry to bring that up. Please don't look up what meth is. Grant Napa, what's happening? He's listening now on the Odyssey app. What's up, Grant?
Hey, fellas. Slightly different take. I think this might be the greatest thing that could happen to Bob Myers. Now he's got an excuse to ship Draymond. Draymond is not getting an extension. Think about age, performance, and money, right? We can't expect Steph to perform like, maybe we can. Like a Superman, the greatest of all time in the Bay Area, maybe all time. And, in my opinion, anybody under 6'5". That's not my point.
That's a great point.
The Warriors, when they keep winning, they ain't drafting in the top 15. Jordan Poole is not going to be Steph, but you can see that guy 3, 4, 5 years from now scoring 25. Wiggins is staying. Draymond may be smart like a fox. He knows he ain't getting anything, so he pulls something like this. He gets traded. I would trade him tomorrow for an expiring contract. Trade him to whoever. Cleveland's pretty good. Trade him somewhere. Trade him to the Lakers. Can you imagine Draymond Green?
So wait a minute, Grant.
Breaking down.
Hold on, Grant. Are you saying that you would trade Draymond Green right now before the season starts?
Right now. I don't care what I get. You're going to get something from somebody. Get that expiring contract. Sign those two young guys. I know Wiggins isn't young. He's in the prime. You are not letting Poole walk. You cannot find another guy. I'm not saying he's going to be Steph. In no way. You're not going to find another young cat that's going to score 25. You can project him to that. And then entertain people. They got to fill that Chase Center.
Well, and he can play off ball to Steph, too.
Off ball.
Which is great. And Steph can play off ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with him on that. If you asked me, Joe, that you had to, if you said, Joe, you have to make a decision here because these two can't coexist, I'm with him. I would probably ship Draymond Green out over Jordan Poole. Not because I believe Jordan Poole will have a longer legacy or any of those things. Just moving forward, I feel like I've got younger pieces that can fill the void. Not all of it.
Right.
Because Draymond does things that some people just can't do.
Well, can Kuminga do what he does?
Well, can Looney, Kuminga, and Wiseman
coexist.
Fill that void? Can Moses Moody fill some of that void? Yes, that's what I'm
saying. And then Clay one thing about Clay Thompson on the floor.
Can you move him
at this
to 3-4?
He can guard in the post.
I know.
His lower body is as strong as anybody's out there. He guards really well in the post.
Yeah.
So can you live without Draymond Green? I'm not ready to do that right now. By the way, shout out to Zeeshan.
I'm with you on that. I don't think they need to do that right now.
You don't need to panic right now. Zeeshan Khan.
This is why I'm paying Kerr the big bucks.
Exactly. And Bob Myers. Zeeshan Khan. What up, Bonte and Shasky? Listening to you all the way in Mexico on vacation. Man's on vacation listening to the roast. That's a loyal roaster right there. Shout out to Zeeshan Khan. Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Gene, listening on the radio. What's happening, Gene?
Hey, fellas. So, I've been a long time Draymond supporter. I'm really disappointed in him punching a teammate. He's not the first one to ever do that, though.
No.
I've always liked Draymond, and I've related to him. I like him not only because of the value to the team, but, because he's basically a good guy, and I can relate to him because I didn't grow up in Saginaw, but my neighborhood wasn't a whole lot better. I mean, I had to fight my way through, you know, bullies and, you know, prove myself constantly. And even at age 76, I still got an edge to me, and I still got a temper, and I still have to manage it, just as he'll probably have to manage it the rest of his life. I think he's gotten better at it, but, you know, he's got to work on it. On the other hand, you know, you look at Jordan Poole. I mean, what is he doing that's provoking Draymond to act like this? I mean, he has a responsibility too, you know. They need to sit him down and say, hey, look, it's one thing to scream money right. time at the opposition. That's fun. That's cool. But you're saying or doing something that's going over the line, obviously. So you need to back off, too.
Basically, I don't know. But you know what, Gene? I don't know what was said.
Yeah, it's...
We don't know what was said.
We can't victim blame, shame, or whatever. We don't right. even know who the victim or the antagonist, protagonist. We don't know any of those things. I don't. I don't pretend to know. That's why I think this one's so hard.
Yep. Right.
And we didn't see it. Like, Katie and Draymond, we saw it on the bench
right.
live, and we could try to lip read and certain things, and then we saw the whole sequence of events.
Right.
There was so much that was open to the public. This was closed.
Well, Anthony Slater made a good point, though. Beginning of the practice, the leadership council, all in a circle, said it was weird vibe, said the music wasn't playing, mm-hmm. said something was on. He picked up on that immediately.
Yeah.
That something had
no
happened.
No music.
No music. Exactly. I just said that. No music, nothing. Just something odd about the start of practice or when he walked into the practice room. Because obviously they don't watch the whole practice. Mm-hmm. You shut it down. Mm-hmm. They're not going to show everybody everything they're doing. So I have an idea of what was said. I'm not going to, you know, I have an idea from what her mouth of what was said. And it's not enough to warrant a punch to the face. All right? It's not enough to warrant a punch to the face.
How about this notion that they can't win without Draymond? Didn't we see them win games? And I think the same could be said for Jordan Poole. But they did win games with Draymond making zero impact. And, in fact, the most impact in certain games. Again, this is probably for a lot of guys, Jordan Poole included.
Yep.
When Draymond was on the bench against Dallas, that's when the momentum swung back in their favor after Dorian Finney was hitting everything.
Well, game two, Mavericks are cooking.
Yes.
Draymond's in foul trouble.
Yes.
It is the pivotal game of the series. You go back 1-1 to Dallas, things may be a little different. Now you're talking about a longer series, maybe a 6 or 7 game series. You protect home court in game two, and they were getting blown out. And Draymond was having an awful game. And if you watched the game back, game two, Western Conference Finals, everybody after the game said it. Everybody, you could see it. Warrior fans, everybody. The best. You sat next to.
I know.
You sat next to some stars in that game.
Scooter Barry. I was sitting there going, Dre's just got to sit tonight.
Dude.
He's just not as
nice. He picked up that fourth foul or fifth foul in the third quarter. Forget which one it was. And it was the best thing to happen to the Golden State Warriors that game. Looney was huge. When they made their run in game
incredible.
Four. When they made their run in game four, the Golden State Warriors, and Steph Curry was cooking. You think about that fourth quarter lineup. Draymond Green was not on the floor.
No.
He damn near was unplayable, and he admitted the crowd got to him. He was rattled. This is your veteran.
Yeah.
This is your veteran. So, could you win a championship without Draymond Green? You needed Draymond Green, but you also needed Jordan Poole. You cannot diminish the value that Jordan Poole brought to that team. Because at the end of the day, Bill Russell said it, right? Moses Moody quoted Bill Russell yesterday at the podium. He was like Bill Russell said, the game is about getting buckets, and you better go get buckets. Jordan Poole gets buckets. We know that. Does Draymond get buckets? We whine about him. Hey, just give us 10. Give us 12.
Well, I think that just look at the trajectory arcs of the two players. One, I think, can do more defensively because he's 23 and he's going to grow into that spot.
Right.
The other one has gotten worse offensively and worse defensively.
And he has a bad back.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get back out to the lines.
I don't think it's an either-or situation just yet.
No doubt.
We're
going to get all these calls. All these calls. We're going to start with Dustin. We got Mark, Austin, Cruiser, Abe. That's what we'll do, Shasky. Let's take calls until the changeover.
Yeah.
Let's get the callers in here. Dub Nation, how you feeling about this altercation between Jordan Poole and Draymond Green yesterday at practice? We'll hear from Steve Kerr later today. And more details will come out in the coming days here. Let's go to Dustin in Mountain View, listening on the radio. What's up, Dustin? You're on the roast.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm a big fan. I love the radio show, but I just gotta tell you guys about the real when it comes to Draymond Green, man. There's a lot of callers I'm listening to that are bashing him, and you know I get it, man. But also, if you really know basketball and watch it and watch the game, especially the Warriors games, you know what he's gonna bring to our offense, especially throughout the. When, you know, there's times in the playoffs where we had to bench him for whatever reason, but through the regular season, That offense is different when he's on the floor, especially for Steph and Clay and our other guards that get the wide open threes. Not only does he set the screens right, he gets the passes in the right situations, what he brings defensively. I just personally think the offense is completely different when he's on the floor. Because there was games that we won when he wasn't in, but hey, there's a lot of games that we lost because he wasn't on the floor also, too.
So. No doubt.
Yeah, but you also have to make a projection of how healthy he can stay moving forward. Like, that's part of paying someone all that money. You do have to make choices. And when you miss two full months with a herniated disc in your back, I caution a little. I pause.
This. Dr. Nirav Pandya in the YouTube chat. It's lit right now. Would be interesting to see how Kerr handles this situation after getting punched by Michael Jordan during training camp back in the 90s. And a lot of people say Jordan was in the wrong for that. Now, you're not going to trade Michael Jordan. You're not going to cut Michael Jordan. And you're not going to do that with Draymond Green. Draymond Green's not going anywhere this season. I don't think he is. Long term, maybe a different story. Short term, I truly believe this blows over and he'll get focused. Because what cures all? What makes us forget about it?
Winning.
Yeah. And as long as the Warriors win, this will be a non-story.
Let's have the real conversation. Let's say Steph doesn't go nuclear in game four. Warriors fall behind. They end up losing the series. Mm. You know what the entire offseason narrative would have been? Draymond was unplayable.
Yes.
And it wouldn't have been, Jordan Poole's unplayable, because Jordan Poole's on a suppressed 28 overall pick rookie contract. Draymond Green's on a $27 million contract with a player option. And he wants an extension 2 years out. That's what the narrative would have been during the offseason. Now, they won, and he got the last laugh. But, you know, if we're looking at who was, you know, leading the way on the group project, it wasn't Draymond.
It was Stephen Curry. Let's go to Mark in Walnut Creek listening on the radio. He's on the bus. What's up, Mark?
Trey's great.
Hey, what's up, man? You know, the thing is, you got to have a Draymond Green. Every NBA championship team has a Draymond Green. They have that guy. They have that enforcer on the team. Whether he's healthy, whether he's getting better, whether he's a Dennis Rodman going out every night, you got to have a Draymond Green. Without Draymond Green, I mean, look how many championships they won. And people can say, oh, well, they lost that one because he kicked the kid or whatever. But at the end of the day, you got to have a Draymond Green. So I don't know, obviously, what happened. But I think things happen in sports where, you know, things get heated, and sometimes the enforcer wants to test guys out there to say, hey, are you going to, going to buck up when, you know, stuff hits the fan, or are you going to be Mr. Softy? Now, I don't know if that's the case, but I just know you got to have a Draymond Green or an enforcer type, and he's been that for the Warriors. And I don't know where the Warriors would be without that type of guy out there night in, night out.
That's totally correct,
yeah,
Mark.
On some level, yeah, absolutely agree. But you want to get that enforcer dude to the other team and not internally, right? Like P.J. Tucker, for example, brought toughness to Milwaukee, you know, and clearly they already had a lot of toughness to begin with.
Right.
But you don't get any of the infighting and the turmoil. It's not about, is Draymond Green good? We all agree he's good. Mm-hmm. It's, does all of the positive things that he do outweigh all the negative things?
Yep.
And right now, when is enough enough? I don't know. For me, I still probably keep him around.
I want to know what Steph thinks. What does Steph think about this? What does Steph think? What does Booty think? What does Wiggins think? What does Moody and Kuminga think, and James Wiseman?
What do Willard and Dibbs think?
Oh, well, that's coming up in 6 minutes. I kind of have an idea of what they think.
Oh.
But we'll save that for 6 minutes.
You Let's have go a to Avid
Conker. Yeah, basically. I kind of seen some tweets. I see some things. Avid Conker listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Abe? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, listen, we cannot be condoning Draymond Green punching a teammate in the face. Bobby Portis did this in Chicago a couple years ago. And put someone on the IR, broken nose.
He
sent them to Europe.
Yeah, he left
the
league.
He left the country.
Yeah, he left the league.
Gone. Gone. Draymond punches him, and Jordan Poole's now out for 2 months looking for a bag, waiting for a bag. Now he can't play, and now Draymond's sitting there like, oh, okay, well, sorry. I mean, we cannot condone. I don't care what Jordan Poole said. He could be mocking him. He could be talking about his mom, whoever. We have to be 30-something years old, a professional, and say, listen, stop, knock it off, don't do it. You can get chest to chest if you want, look him in the face, but once you put hands on, that's completely different.
Right.
Talk to KD on the bench, and KD said, I'm gone.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm not saying Draymond has to go. He has to get his stuff ready. Okay?
Well, I mean, Stasky mentioned it earlier. At this stage of his career, he's not going to change.
No.
He's not going to change. He's Daddy Day-Day.
This is who he is.
This is who he is on the floor. He's very emotional. Very emotional. So, and listen, Draymond's a four-time champ. Don't get it twisted. Draymond Green will be a statue guy. Draymond Green will have his jersey in the rafters. Draymond Green is an all-time warrior.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
But at some point, when is enough enough? When is enough enough? This has been a lot. Off the floor. You know, the podcast. Everything, man. It's the Draymond Green experience. At some point, you wanted to say, hey, I'm tired of experiencing this. Some fans think like that.
We're just tired of being around someone. You know, like that's, you know, that we've all had those work situations or family life situations where you do might love that person or see all the value that they bring. But at the same time, you're like, I've had enough.
One thing I know is that
around you.
One thing I know, Shasky, is that whatever happens, whether it's Poole walking, whether it's Draymond walking, mm-hmm. whatever happens, it's going to be a lot of tension. It's going to be a lot of pissed off people because Poole has a lot of fans. Dude, Poole makes Chase Center pop. Yeah. The pool jerseys are out of control. The pool party?
I'm also convinced there's a segment of Warrior fans that, you know, Draymond could... Well, I'm not even going to say what I'm going to say, but the point being is that they're going to defend Draymond no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what he does. And I get that because of all the goods and the feel good and everything that he's done for this team. I live by the Belichick, Bill Walsh, Popovich code of, you know, if you want things to sustain... It's not the worst thing in the world to move off someone a year earlier if you have to.
If you have to. Let's go to Paula in Chicago, listening on the Odyssey app. Paula, good morning. What's happening?
Just good. Just listening to you right here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, the thing is that I love Draymond. I've always have, and I think I will always love him. But he has to grow. Like, there's an evolution that has to go in his mind, that he's not a rookie. He's not a second-year player to be risking our future. We're talking of a legit chance of going back-to-back. And you're going to mess it up because you're in your emotions?
So true.
You're going to mess it up again?
I know. Yeah. It's so true. They should be preparing for a world tour of dominance this year.
Paula,
getting ready for the playoffs.
I think they will. Paula, but let me ask you this. What should be the punishment for Draymond Green?
The thing is that Draymond, okay, we're talking about a guy that we're relying on his leadership. We're not relying on his average, like, scoring anymore because he doesn't score. He doesn't shoot. He's an excellent defender, but there are many defenders in the NBA that can do his job. We're relying on his leadership. And the only thing that we're relying on, he's lacking right now. And it happens every now and then. He gets unfocused. He starts doing other stuff, and we suffer. Then he gets his stuff together, and we win. But he has to kind of, like, find a way that this is not a pattern, because it is always a pattern in the season. He does something. He loses his focus. We struggle. Then he finds his focus back. Then we win. And then it all goes back to the same circle. He doesn't have the consistency of being the adult person in the room.
Hey, Paula, great call. Great call. She was fired up all the way in Chicago. Damn. Austin in the Bay, then we get the Cruiser, then we'll flex.
Austin,
listening on the radio in the Bay Area.
A non-49er Let's hear it, baby. Let's go.
Let's go, Austin.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm not trying to bash Draymond. But, hey, Draymond got a video on YouTube talking about Jordan Poole where nobody can shut him up. Seems like he can't even do that himself, so he had to jab it in his mouth. Or, you know, I don't know what happened. But other than that, hey, it ain't nothing but a hiccup. Kurt been through this with Jordan. I'm not saying Draymond is Jordan, but this got Steve Kerr written all over it. You go pull him to the side, go pull Jordan to pull to the side, you know, talk about it. And be a champion about it.
You know what's funny? The fact that you reference that, there's a meme that's going across the internet. It's Ben Affleck, and he's just like, ugh. And he's smoking a cigarette in an alleyway. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what
that's
one he's talking
Steve Kerr,
about.
Bob Myers, and Joe Lacob right now.
Last night.
That is a photo, like, ugh. Right when their phone got the alert.
Not going to lie.
Maybe they were there at the facility.
Not going to lie. It crossed my mind. I said, man, I should just call Bob. Just call him. Hey, Bob, how you doing? How's the girls doing? All good? Hey, hope you had fun. all the time in Japan.
Shasky needs front row seats for ring night.
For preseason game number one.
Actually, I'll take nosebleeds. No, I'll take that, whatever you can get me in there.
Now, how hot is that preseason game on Sunday between the Lakers?
I'm ready to just for the dap between LeBron and Draymond pregame. Is Draymond going to give him the powder that he uses to clap his hands?
Well, that's what's ticking off Warrior fans. The love for LeBron James. Cruiser to 209 in will flex.
Cruiser
watching on YouTube. What up, Cruiser? Long time no talk. Out there to 209.
My brothers, what's going on? Yeah, I'm still with you. Hey, Draymond Green, pains me to say this. I love him. He's been my favorite Warrior ever since he took over for D-League. But, man, I think he's done crossed that line. You can't do that, you know. But you asked a good question. At what point does is it too much? What point is the value no longer worth the headache? And I think we're at that point. You can't do that, Draymond. You know, everything he did, the podcast, all that stuff, drives me crazy. But I suffered it because he was performing. And now it's like he's resorting to these bully tactics, maybe because he's losing that edge and he feels like this is the only thing he has left. You know, throwing the management under the bus on the podcast with Katie, that's unacceptable. A fine's going to do nothing. You need to give him the ultimatum. Look, don't you ever do this again or you're out. And you got to suspend him. You got to make an example of him, because if he runs out pool, you know, that's going to be the next guy. And I would rather, honestly, guys, I hate to say this, I'd rather see that money go to a priority such as keeping Wiggins or even pool. I think Dre's kind of, this is all he has left. And, you know, if we keep him, I hope he makes it work. But like you guys said, we know who he is. I don't expect that to change. And if he's going to keep with that type of mentality, that behavior, you got
to
go. Thanks.
Great way to end the show. Great way to end the show, Cruiser. Great call. By the way, 209 on the Comcast Business Text Line. Hey, Shasky, I thought you paid for your own tickets. You just asked Bob Meyer for tickets. Remember yesterday, he was like, oh, I paid for my own.
Well, that's pretty funny. If Bob can get me in the door and save me a couple grand because it's the hottest ticket in the history of the NBA, I mean, you know.
That's what the press credential's for.
You know what you told me?
That's what the credential's for. Paula, by the way, what a great call from Chicago. She was on fire.
Sometimes when you get, you know, opportunities to get freebies, you got to take them. We got Pilo hats today from Pilo.
Shout out to Pilo.
Yeah, shout out to Pilo.
We're going to hang it up somewhere. Pilo, shout out to Pilo.
I got an NBC shirt from Bonte. I mean, I'm like.
$3.99 movement.
Yeah, you like
$3.99 movement.
There
it is.
You see this, Mark Willard? You see this shirt?
Well, you got to wear some Keeg stuff, A's. Look at that. Look at that as Dibs looks at the computer. By the way, it's time to flex. Draymond Green's important. But don't let that. Don't just look at Jordan Poole and think he's chopped liver.
Well,
all right, I mean, game two of the Western Conference Finals, Draymond Green was unplayable. Unplayable.
How about game three of the finals?
The first three games of the finals, like game two, he turned it into, you know how Baldy talked about Bosa and the Niners' defense being demolition derby?
Yeah.
They're just running into people. Go look at Draymond Green's game two.
Well, how about when he got kicked out on the road against Memphis and he was like waving bye-bye to everybody? I mean nobody, look, even the biggest Draymond Green supporter will admit there's times you're like, oh boy, Draymond. Oh my God.
Right.
And I just think that moving forward, you know, at some point, this may not be the incident, but at some point, they're going to say the BS is outweighing the production. And I don't think we're there yet, but at some point, the calculation will be there.
I mean, another pelt on the wall.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
I'm already dreading that being pushed on Instagram.
Why? It was a high pick and roll. You came up, you set the screen, you dipped to the hoop. I came down, whoop, threw it up to you.
That's gonna be jammed
at home.
That's going to be fans who think we turned the ball over. Get him out the game. Bitch him, coach.
Oh, you got Wiseman hands?
Wiseman's
hands are better.
You got IG fear this week.
Don't you worry about IG. I just get tagged and I try to enjoy IG to look at things.
Just
and, you know.
Enjoy it. It's just IG. IG's not going to bite you.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
Hey, guys.
Stay off the socials. Yeah, I mean, life is not in the socials, you know. That's like one tiny sliver of what really matters. And in our business, a lot of times we all get rabbit ears, which is why when I get your seat, Joe, when you leave, the first thing I do, I go to the text line. Boop! Bye-bye.
Oh, you log out?
I never once look at the text line.
I log in.
You're a better man than I
am. I handle the text line on our show.
Because you get a text like this, 707, if anyone punches another coworker, they are fired. It's like if Bonte punches Shasky, he's most likely fired from the game. There's no doubt. There's no doubt I'm fired.
Well, and
I don't
know about that, pretend actually. That our business is their business.
Oh, they get me out of the paint, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, but no.
If
but
Mike
Dibs,
Tyson
right.
punches a coworker,
exactly.
it's part of the job.
Yes.
And you know what?
Well, he has a coworker. But,
thank
but, yeah.
you. In the, NBA, where you're dealing with alpha males and trash talk and competitiveness
Agreed, Dibs.
And contact. So and think about it in our terms. If you verbally punch another person in our business, you know, we resolve it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I and you and Goo yeah. and whatever, we've you and Steiny and, you know, Mark and I, we've all had yep. our verbal punches that have been thrown, and you get through it.
Yep.
And these guys are pro athletes. They're alpha males.
I'm with you on
and
that.
And they're going to get through it. Now, at the end of the year, are they both coming back? I don't think so. And that's where this gets interesting.
Yeah. I think the conversation pretty quickly sort of needs to move to that. Like, I don't know anybody. No one's going to excuse punching a coworker. That's just like, and it sounds to me, and I know I heard what you guys were saying with regard to the Chris Haynes thing and where what agency is this coming from, and that's all fair. But Draymond, if he was emotional and he apologized to his team, he was wrong. He was wrong.
Agreed.
So it's not like you can't punch the teammate. We get that.
Yes.
However, the dynamic that clearly feels like it is being built inside the
it's
building
the
is rather obvious and predictable, which is they're all trying to be that guy, not only who gets the contract, but I felt like you could see this coming last year. Jordan Poole, the history of the NBA will tell you that the young guy who's coming up, we as Warrior fans want him to be wooed by, well, this is such a great organization, and you could win, and you could be next to Steph Curry.
Buy your time.
Isn't that wonderful? And Jordan's like, no, it's not, because that's not the way these dudes work. They want two things, money and minutes, and that's what Jordan's going to be here for, and it's probably not going to happen here. Like, the egos in the room are massive. They're massive. Klay and Steph and Draymond told you this offseason when they started calling Kevin Durant. They don't care about your 2027 Warriors. They don't give a rip.
But what about ownership? And what about the front office?
That's for them to figure out.
I mean, because if that was the case and they would have succumbed and listened to them, you wouldn't have got Gary Payton Jr. on this team. You would have had Avery Bradley a couple of years ago. You wouldn't have had them stick with all their draft picks. They would have moved those guys for players.
But like, this is slightly different.
No, I agree. Yeah. But we've had this tension for quite some time between the players and the organization.
You always
but
will.
To me, the tension comes from Jordan Poole, who is very confident. Bonte, you mentioned it. He's from Milwaukee. He's not some, you know, silver spooner from Sherman Oaks. This kid is cut from a different cloth.
I like that
and you've
point.
Got Draymond Green from Saginaw.
Yep.
And, you know, Jordan Poole. And I'm just closing my eyes and imagining how this went yesterday, where Jordan Poole's probably giving it to not only Draymond, but everybody. Like, you can't stop me, money time, all the rest of it. And
he
Draymond.
Talks.
Yeah, he talks. And Draymond talks, too. And when
so
you,
somebody
when you
talked
two
back
talkers,
to Draymond and he resorted to violence.
But Draymond's not going to be able to, like, go shot for shot with Jordan Poole. What's Draymond Green's number one punch? You mentioned it.
An
the B
punch.
Word. He's a bully.
Right, right.
And because he's a bully, they've won four championships. You don't win these championships without Draymond Green's bullyism.
Do you win last year's championship without Jordan Poole?
Well, who was more important last year, Draymond Green or Jordan Poole?
Felt like Jordan Poole kept the team afloat when Draymond was out.
Jordan was largely unplayable early in that season.
But this is
Draymond Green got benched in game four.
But this is slipping way too.
Draymond Green got in foul trouble in game two.
We're slipping way too quick into a conversation about Jordan and Draymond. Draymond's not going anywhere. He's got a player option for $27 million next year. He's not leaving. He's not leaving.
He wants that extension, Mark. He may risk it all by opting out and saying, I want another 4-year deal.
Maybe. I could see him opting out and going
Chris
to L.A. and
that.
Playing with LeBron.
Right.
Well,
players opt out.
If he does that, then I think the Warriors would probably have a party because he just saved their financial issues. I don't think he's going to do that. I think Steph, Klay, and Draymond love one another and this team more than any other option that's out there.
Before you continue, I just want to...
Not to cut you off.
No, it's interesting because... Yeah. Everyone says if he opts out, they'll be happy. On one sense, yes, because of the luxury bill. On another sense, they lose the slot because they're so over the cap. It does limit their financial flexibility because if he's still with the team, you can at least trade for other assets and bring back. If he opts out and leaves, you lose that slot because you're over. I just wanted to make sure.
Steph Curry loses his right-hand man because if there's anybody who's an advocate for Draymond Green in the building, it's Steph Curry.
Correct.
Because Draymond sets a screen for Steph. Draymond does all the dirty work for Steph. So that, to me, is the biggest overarching thing in all of this.
We saw what they look like without him. Listen, to me, and this is a conversation about this year. If Draymond opts out, then it becomes about this year. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to opt in. And therefore, this does not become a Jordan versus Draymond conversation.
It's not that at all.
It is a Jordan versus Andrew Wiggins financial conversation. I've said this for a year. You're not keeping both. The Warriors, I believe, are trying to tell you you're very unlikely to keep both. I don't know how you do that and keep the core together and try to win for the next 2 to 3 years and keep Steph Curry happy.
You don't think Draymond factors into the two of them? Because I think they're all three. To me, they're all three related. I agree with you in the sense that.
But not this year. This offseason, like, you've got to figure this out right now. Are you going to give a contract to both Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins and signal you are going to split up the big three?
Are you going to pick
one or the other and try to keep the big three together?
Slater made a good point that the demeanor of Wiggins, just the way he goes about things, he's not in this crazy push to get the extension right now.
No.
He kind of knows where he's at and he'll let it play itself out. We all know we all know Draymond wanted the extension like 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
He asked for a max.
Exactly. You're not getting it ahead of time.
Exactly.
But I do think Wiggins factors into this. It is a musical chairs in a sense.
If I'm the Warriors, I'm not signing anybody till the end of this year. I'm going to watch how you play. Wiggins
might cost you more for Jordan Poole,
Maybe.
Jordan Poole's restricted. You have to match.
He's restricted.
No, I know that.
But if you can get him for $5 million, that's a team
that may come over the top and say, here's $200 million.
Yes.
And then are the Warriors going to match it?
See in the lottery.
Like, the way we talk about Jordan Poole is like, oh, he's just some replaceable player.
You can't lose assets.
How many players can play off the ball and on the ball in this league?
Jordan Poole is a very, very good player, but how many of the good players do you get to keep on your team?
No, this is about asset retention. The whole reason they have Wiggins is because they did asset retention, allowing Durant to leave. They get back some things. And so, like, in the NBA, there's only so much of these. You only have so many draft picks and so many slots. So if you allow Jordan Poole to leave and for a $200 million deal, I have no problem with losing the money, but you lose an asset outright that you've developed and
cultivated.
But get nothing in return.
But it feels like what we're building toward, and this is what fans get wrong, we're building toward, just keep everybody and make the payroll.
Fans know that. Give fans a little more credit than that, Mark.
I think fans overrate Jordan Poole more than they do.
You've actually talked about this more than anyone, and you know, like, with the price that it costs to go to Chase Center, we do this to our teams. Hey, Joe, you can afford it. So extend, and then Brian Windhorst calls it a checkbook championship, and everybody gets offended. Like,
well, Joe Lacob has come on the station.
I think the league
he's come on
the
station, and Joe Lacob has said, look, I have no problem paying four All-Stars. I want four All-Stars on the floor at all times. May not be the same All-Stars, but I have no problem doing that. And he's backed it up.
But he also told you this offseason, we're not keeping them all.
Right.
Maybe. We're not keeping them all.
And I think if you look at your number one All-Star, the most important athlete, probably in Bay Area history, Steph Curry.
No, there
you
go.
Barry Bonds, we can play this game on another day at another time. If Steph Curry has 4 more years, which I believe his contract is 4 more years, then do you really have Jordan Poole? Can you make the most of Jordan Poole in that 4-year window? Andrew Wiggins is not duplicitous, if I may, of Steph Curry. Draymond is not. Clay is not. Yeah. Jordan Poole is. So
and Curry's numbers, efficiency-wise, on the court with Jordan Poole are through the roof because of the spacing. That's the other thing. Like, I hear you, like, oh, they play the same position, but the way the game is so spaced out now, and they lost to a team with 3 guards in the Toronto Raptors. The blueprint was out there. Steph's actually better with Jordan Poole on the floor.
But we're leaving out what does Jordan want. Jordan doesn't want to spend the next 4 years.
How do you know that, Mark?
Because of yesterday. Like, look
how
at
do you
the,
know that?
Because look what's happening. Because
he got socked by Draymond Green because he was talking trash.
Vontae, the veterans are telling you. The veterans are telling you that Jordan came in. Anthony Slater just said it to you guys an hour ago. He came in squawking.
No. Anthony Slater said he's been the same Jordan Poole from day one. Day one, when his rookie introductory press conference, Guru and I interviewed Jordan Poole. He's been the same guy from day one that he is right now.
Right.
I just read it to him immediately. He's a little cocky. He's a little arrogant. As Shasky said, he's eccentric. That's fine.
You don't want
him to be cocky on the floor. He's playing with Steph Curry, Draymond Green at the highest levels.
What I said,
what are you talking about?
From day one, you're right. He came in and was a guy who started yelling money time when he hits a three in Denver. I'm telling you,
it's fine. Steph Curry's doing a sea walk.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm telling
you where this is going because it goes to the same place always. The young buck who sees himself as an NBA one is going to go be an NBA one. And there's no space for that here.
I don't know if Jordan Poole
sees that.
There
is no space for that here.
There's one important quote that doesn't get a lot of run. When Jordan Poole, somebody asked him in the post, he just said, man, what have you learned this year?
Because he was starting and he came off the bench.
And he said, you know, and he was very sincere with this. The number one thing I've learned with this organization, it's about winning. Because winning will lead to big money contracts and championships and fame. So it doesn't matter if I come off the bench. Steph Curry set the tone in the postseason by coming off the bench the first four games, saying, look, I come off the bench. Anybody can come off the bench.
The other quote that needs to get highlighted is Clay's quote from Japan last week where he said, it was good to humble Jordan Poole. That, to me, was more telling than all this because even Clay Thompson from the boat comes in and is asked about a three-point shootout that had nothing to do with Jordan Poole. It felt good to humble Jordan Poole. That tells me all you need to know about what the veterans feel about his outsized ego.
Did you catch what he said next in the very same presser? Because then Poole started being playful and grabbed one of the other reporters' microphones to interview Clay.
Right.
And Clay snidely said, oh, he's coming for y'all's job too.
It's Clay.
Vontae, it's all good. But it's just the way, in my mind,
let me say this.
This is the way it works with massive egos and massive money and the best players on the planet. He's going to want to shine.
I think he's going to want to shine.
He wants that number one shine. I'm pretty sure we could find a quote from GP2.
He's never going to be a number one.
I'm pretty sure we could. He doesn't think that.
He'll be a number one.
I don't know if you know that. Jordan Poole thinks.
He doesn't think that.
What's funny about Clay Thompson, I saw all that stuff, and I think it was playful. From what I heard, it was very, very playful.
Totally.
Clay's brother, Michael Thompson, is a guy who walks out with Jordan Poole to warm him up every single game. Yeah. So you think there was tension. The sibling definitely wouldn't be warming up with Jordan Poole.
It's not that it's not all good. It's all good, but these guys, they're in it, so they know the fraternity and they know how it works. They're not against the idea of Jordan Poole getting a bag and all of like that's where this goes next. And the Warriors will figure it out because they're the best organization out there. And I have no doubt that they'll still play well under this umbrella this year. But to think that Jordan Poole doesn't see himself, like, I bet we could find a quote from GP2 also, who says, all about winning. And then Portland called. And he said, I want to be a Blazer.
Right.
That's just a way.
Rumor on the
street
is GP2's already trying to make a return to the Warriors.
Well, whatever.
He had to get his money.
Right.
He had to get his money.
Same thing here.
You know? $30 million.
I liked what you said about the Bob Myers flex moment would be to sign Jordan Poole right now from Spadoni.
Pre-game show. I'm stealing.
It's not happening.
Funny?
And I thought it would be a flex the other way where all of a sudden Steve Kerr, you know, Jordan Poole, you're going to get 18 minutes during the regular season. We're going to go ahead and tamp you down a little bit. When we need you in the playoffs, we'll go to you, but you'll be our ninth man until about March.
If you guys were to just speak this forward, who do you see on this team 2 years from now? Draymond or Jordan Poole? I'm sincerely asking.
Neither. Draymond goes to LA. Jordan Poole goes to fill in the blank, irrelevant location. Jordan gets his bag elsewhere. Draymond goes to play with LeBron and Bronny. One last go round. That's the way I see this going.
We're saying hypothetically, you think Draymond's a Warrior lifer?
Well, I don't know about lifer, but I think to factor in accurately to your question, we need to know what the team is doing those 2 years. I need to know that because if it goes well, then it's Draymond. If it doesn't go well, then it's Jordan.
Well,
right? If does Draymond's back give
it,
out?
It could go do well. Like,
if you don't win championships, then you're going to say, let's look to the future. But as we all know, we love to give out thank you contracts in sports. And if you win one title in the next 2 years and you're healthy, you're going to want to keep the core together because you're not going to feel like it's over yet.
You could also say they already gave Draymond his thank you contract.
Maybe.
Before the 15-win season.
When he admitted,
I'm not playing hard. I didn't play hard. I knew we didn't have a chance to win, so I'm going to mail it in. The guy literally mailed it in for a 15-win season. I love Day-Day. Who does that and admits that?
Right.
Like, that is wild.
I think Poole's too expensive. Poole leaves because the offer that's going to be out there after this year is going to be about 30 to 35
per. You're going to see an extension in the next couple of weeks.
No, I don't think
let
so.
Me ask,
no,
let me ask
they're
you
too
guys
smart
this.
For that.
Let me ask you guys this.
I think he gets extended.
Say Jordan Poole walks. I think he gets extended,
I think he gets extended.
I think he's going to be here.
I don't know anything. I'm
Jordan Poole.
Hypothetical.
You let him walk. Who's replacing him? Steph's 34. Clay's getting older.
You can find another guard. And this
you can't
is where
find
you
a guard
and I
like
disagree.
Jordan Poole, can you?
You're overrating Jordan Poole. The guy does not defend at all, and he's a volume shooter.
There's a lot of guys
he's
who don't defend.
He doesn't defend.
Wiggins is a better player than Jordan Poole.
He is yes. right
Wiggins
now.
Wiggins is a better player than Jordan Poole.
So you sign Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, I to me, of the three that we're talking about, Andrew Wiggins is clearly the number one priority.
No doubt.
Number one priority, no doubt. Jordan Poole could play off the ball. How many players in the NBA? Dave Leonard, as much as we love him, can't play off the ball.
Jordan Poole on any of the team is Kemba Walker.
I'm not here to say anything bad about Jordan Poole today.